It's Tuesday, August the 25th, 2013. In Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio, the home of PJ, welcome to the webcast. That's Horace Cyrus Chestnut, that is, Cyrus Chestnut on the piano in the background with a number called Soul Food. And I thought that that would be a good subject matter today to start off with a little music. As we answer the question, what happened to Deep Thought? What happened to Deep Thought? One verse of scripture that I want you to turn to in the New Testament scriptures, all right? I want you to turn to it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'll let you get it while you listen to Chestnut. Come on, man, play. Now, let me share this with you. By the way, you guys know I like jazz music. I like good music. And Cyrus Chestnut, nice album. It's just, what is the album called? It's called Cyrus Chestnut. Looks like his premiere album. Real good. Anyway, let's fade out the music and let's get into it. Deep thought is gone from our midst. We don't think in those terms anymore. We don't think deeply about things. Moral things. I got good living illustrations that I can share with you that would be practical, but I don't want to do it because you're going to think I'm picking on somebody, and I'm not picking on anybody. Let me say this. I was in conversation with someone, and it was brought to my attention that sometimes that my moral ambivalence, I think they call it moral ambivalence, when I speak freely about what I'd like to do, but then when I answer the question, have I ever done it or will I do it, it is most likely not. And simply put, because I am of Christian character. I didn't say that I was better than you or anything like that, because that has absolutely nothing to do with it. What you have to do is you have to face that on a consequent level, and the consequent level is quite higher than that. Now, the verse that I want you to go to is a Philippians 4 and 8 verse. I want you to go there because in that Philippians 4 and 8, what he does is Paul concludes his letter as he sums up the duties of a Christian, I think, in a single paragraph, and he kind of like brings us to the thought pattern. Whatever happened to the thought patterns? Why don't we think that way? Whatever happened to the deep thinkers, to the deep thoughts? Those things doesn't take place in our society anymore because we have people that's thinking on another level. And I think that this is a great verse right here because it says, finally, brethren. So he's talking about the conclusion of the situation. He's wrapping everything up. He's bringing it to its final conclusion. He says, finally, brethren. He says, whatsoever is true. Now, he starts in this litany of belief systems where he stretches out these possibilities or these plausibilities in ways that will work. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, I'll just leave the whatsoever off. Whatsoever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, and excellent, anything worthy of praise. And then he says to think on these things. So it is my attempt to say that the culture that we are now involved in, they don't think about those things. We like to think that if we go to a worship service or Bible study or something like that, that we have that particular time to think about it, and then we have the rest of the time to flood our minds with everything else. Consequently, it brought me to this understanding, is that if you spend, let's say, out of 100% of your time, if you spend 90% of your time filling your head with garbage, well, you know what's going to proceed out of it, garbage in, garbage out. And the same is true if you fill your mind with honorable things, just things, pure things, lovely things and gracious things and excellent things and things that are worthy of praise, there will be a different outcome. And it's like the old adage, have you thought your life completely out while you're living it? Or are you just waiting for something to catch up to you and to come up and bite you on the ass, so to say, like that? And so that's what he's doing here. Okay, now, first of all, he starts off with whatsoever is honest and, you know, worthy of an honest report. Worthy of an honest report, because we, you know, we live in a society where everything is trickery. You know, that goes along, and please don't let the talking in the background mess with you. You know, I'm not going to close the door of the studio, let you hear how things going around here. But honest, okay, worthy of reverence. And it in other words, if things are not honest, how can you trust a person that's not honest? How can you trust me if I'm not honest? How can I trust you? Why would I want to? And there are two kinds of people in the world. You have to realize that. And there are two kinds of people. And the two kinds of people are the honest people and the dishonest people. So what you have to do is you have to come to the point of which person you are. And that's what Paul was talking about when he was running this down. Now, let me bring this thing to fruit. Wait a minute. I got to close it now because they turned on the TV. Hold on. You want to know how that young generation does life? They make it up as they go along. It's not anything true. Let's look at verse 8. All right. You got to think. Well, let me put it the way one commentator put it. I'm just reading these things here. He says, by the word finally, Paul indicated that he was about to conclude this particular section in this book when he wrote to the church of Philippi. He says, six items are mentioned as, and I like this commentator's statements here, as objects of a wholesome thought life. We don't think deeply about things because we do not have wholesome thought lives. Now, I don't mean walking around thinking about God's righteousness every minute of your life and everything like that. No, because when you got to go to work and you're a cop and something happens and you got to take somebody down, you got to take them down. You're thinking wholesome at the same time when you're taking them down. You should ask them to drop the weapon first. And then if they don't drop the weapon, you drop them. Okay? So we understand that. Wholesome thought lives. And this commentator says that each one is introduced with whatever. In the Greek, whatever is a plural term, which suggests that several things could be included under each heading. See, if you look at that again, finally, my brother, whatever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, keep that within the framework of the Greek language itself. It's very important if you're going to read this ancient text. And you're going to carry the meaning of this text over into the world that we're supposed to be living this stuff out. And there's where the difficulty comes, because nobody wants to think that way. Now, I have wholesome thoughts all the time. And at times I have unwholesome thoughts. I cannot help but to have unwholesome thoughts because I am a human being. I'm not a perfect person, though I strive to be perfect, but I strive to have wholesome thoughts. What are they? He starts off this, I think, this wonderful approach to setting up guidelines to do your life by talking about whatsoever is true. Things that, of course, are the opposite would be dishonest. You see, and so you have this scale here. You have this scale here. What is true? Are you going to pursue something? Yes, I am. Are you going to pursue it in truth? No, I'm going to pursue it in a lie. Well, then you're a lie. Then the outcome of your life is a lie. Everything like that is a lie. You know, it has something to do with the word that we use in the English language called integrity. And you know what? Though I like some of the younger people's music and I listen to it, some of it is very ingenious. The way the music is put together, it took a lot of thought. going in the studio, and you know, when you got a good board operator and a good engineer and all that kind of stuff, and you can basically buy that stuff and train yourself. I did with the technology that I use here in my studio. It may be kind of raggedy, but it still works. But truth, see, and not based upon denominational truth, not based upon your pastor's truth, but based upon God's truth. What's truth? What is it, God? What is it that God wants you to do? How is it that God wants you to pursue? Do you think that pursuing truth is for weak people or for strong people? Do you think that strong people are to be more dependent upon than the weak person that doesn't strive for that? That's why he uses this right here. Now, I'm going to give you the opposite of that. When you go to Ephesians 4 and 15, I want to read that quickly. It says right here, but speaking the truth, see what I mean? Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ. In other words, Christ didn't lie. He spoke the truth. He always spoke the truth. Whatever the truth brought him, he spoke it. I like it because when I speak the truth and I'm transparent and I'm talking about things that make sense to me, the people that I'm speaking to ought to be able to come into that thought pattern and follow along. Does that make sense? Stay in Ephesians 4. Look at verse 25. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood. And it says, speak the truth, each one of you to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Here again, I cannot, and you know, I don't think that I'll ever be able to bring myself to a full understanding as to why the church could never do that with me. Speak the truth to me. I speak with a lot of the guys that I used to pastor. You know, I come in contact with them. If I meet them out on the street and we're talking out there and la, 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 and they say, how you doing, Pastor John? I said, now you can call me John. You can call me John. My name is John Coleman. You don't have to call me Pastor John. You don't have to use a title. You don't have to use the accolades. I never liked that. I never needed that anyhow. God called me to be a preacher. I didn't. I didn't place myself in that office. So since I'm no longer in it, you know what? It was interesting. I was talking with Pastor Reamer, and he says, do you know what you did? I says, what do you mean, do I know what I did? Of course I know what I did. I always know what I'm doing. He says, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. Do you know what you did? I said, what? He said, you resigned. Yes. You stepped down. You walked away from everything. Yes. And he says, they can't accuse you of anything. Yes, they can. But no. Yes, they can. But no. Because they know that my life is like their life. And God is the one that accuses me. I have to go around here walking around with this, speak the truth to thy neighbor in love. That's what I'm going to do. That's a noble thing to do. Okay? You know, I kind of like that. But whatsoever is true. And then he says, whatsoever is honorable. There's where we get our term noble from. Because there's not too many noble people in our society today. People in our society live like slut, but then when you tell them that they're living like slut, they don't want to hear it. I know sometimes because my mind takes me there. I'm just being real with it, and I know what it is. And when I think it through, I said, oh my God, how could I do that? Because the further you get away from thinking about godly thoughts, you're going to find yourself thinking thoughts that are not noble. That refers to what is dignified and worthy of respect. The word is sema in the Greek. It is used in the New Testament only here and also in two other places. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, it says, deacons likewise must be men of dignity. You see that? Not double tongue. See, dignity is the term here. And so when you're noble, you're dignified. You have noble thoughts. You have higher intentions than you had before. And you allow those thoughts and intentions to carry you. Let me give you another verse and so that you can understand that. Verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, women must likewise be dignified. See, this is for the women and the men. And in the culture and in the world that we live in today, there's no dignity. There's no shame. There's none. There's no shame. And the further you raise children and get them away from what God said. You know, it was interesting last night because T called me. And he was asking me how I was doing. And I said, I'm doing fine. I started school. I'm doing good. He said, are you getting along with that kid? He said, yeah, the kid ain't giving me no problem. Kid is not giving me a problem at all. This is a task here. And I'm going to tell you, got to be disciplined to take the task. And I find it interesting that no one would come to listen to my Bible study that's not ready to do this. Can't do it. Because in the culture that I live in, that I've lived through, that I've lived up to this point, people aren't talking about what's true and honorable. No, dignified. They aren't thinking about that. Then he goes into the next one and he says, and whatsoever is just, or if you want to, Titus chapter 2, verse 2 talks about right. Titus puts it this way: older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in love, and in perseverance. All right. All right, that's the dignified portion again. But right refers to conformity to the standard of God. And that is why we don't have high and noble thoughts. Because if you have to conform to the standard of God, you have to put yours down. Now, here's a question of authority. Who is the authority in everybody's life? What I have to do with this young man now, because it's time to step it up to the next level, because I'm trying to gradually take them up on this staircase to success. And so the next one is listening to the authority. And who is the authority? I am the authority. Whether you like the authority or not, I am the authority. There's authority over and in everyone's life. And you are not your own authority in the world, living in your own planet and universe. And so, you know, that is what we do. Now, let me continue to take this. I'm loving this. Pure here refers to that which is wholesome and not mixed with moral impurity. Now, this is gone in our society today. It is gone. You know, I often tell people, I wish that I can find somebody that can love me, that can love me and make me feel like I'm a human being again, because I haven't been with a human being in years. I just haven't. People don't open up to you. They are camouflaged. They're the complete opposite of what you think. And so this purity, this wholesomeness that is not mixed with moral impurity is very difficult to find. And that's the kind of culture that we live in today. And that is why it's so difficult for me to be transparent with people in love, and for them coming across and they don't even understand what the hell I'm talking about. Then Paul talks about, and I'm sorry for the language, but there we are. Then Paul talks about whatsoever is lovely. Now, this occurs only here in the New Testament. This Greek word, pharsophile. I'm not saying it right in the Greek, but it's only here. And it speaks of what promotes peace rather than conflict. See, if something is lovely, it's going to be peaceful. But you know, when you communicate peacefully, some peaceful attributes, some things like that, to a culture where this determinant word has been erased from its vocabulary, it's very difficult for people to live up to that. They think that what is lovely is weak, is not strong. And I'm not talking about a European mindset of what loveliness is. You know, have you ever heard the thing, if it's white, it's right, if it's black, you get back? No, we aren't talking about color coding here and race baiting. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about humanity. I'm excited because tonight I teach I teach my ethics class, and I will be teaching it. It's one of those all-night classes, 6:55 to 10:05 at night. Ha! That's a long class, isn't it? Well, yeah. I'm teaching two sessions in one, because I'm not teaching it twice a week, but once a week. It's a long lecture. And they chose just the right man to do it, because I can teach that long lecture and get ethics out to those students. It's going to be a wonderful time starting that class tonight. And we're going to be speaking about whatsoever is lovely. And then he ends up the verse and he says, whatsoever is gracious, that means admirable. Okay. Another unique Greek word, and it's only used here in the Bible, okay, as it relates to what is positive and constructive rather than negative and destructive. And that's what I think basically a lot of the music of this age is. Music of this age is negative and destructive. And only a decent person would say that. It's not lovely. It's not admirable for your children to walk around quoting these verses and, you know, in its naked truth in a society that will not frown up and say, dang, that's dirty. So let's review what we've gone over. If it's honest, it means whatsoever worthy of reverence. If it's just, it's speaking of the upright life. If it's pure, it's talking about chaste lives, clean hearts, clean thoughts. If it's lovely, such deeds as spring from love and inspire love in others. And if it's of good report, it's a life of which no evil thing can be truthfully said. And if there's any virtue, this means lest he may have omitted some excellency. He adds, if there be aught else which the virtuous are praiseworthy, let these all be the things to which you give your minds. That's what verse 8 is. See? And then what I like what he says in verse 9 is, I bring this to the conclusion, and I think it's a good conclusion. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. You see what Paul does? He uses himself as the prime requisite of that. Then he says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so, you know, how do we get into this deeper thought? What happened to the deep thought? Because we've left this off. We've left it off. We've left off these virtuous qualities. You don't have to be a Christian, a church member, a religious person. If you're a decent human being, I don't care whether you're Muslim, Hindu, hieroglyphics, Egyptian, or whatever you are, you have an obligation to God first and then to your fellow man to live up to these possibilities. And if you don't, let's just, as I end this, this is the way the verse would read if you're a liar. Finally, my brother, whatsoever is a lie, whatsoever is disgraceful, whatsoever is unjust, whatsoever is purely dirty, whatsoever is ugly, whatsoever is beyond understanding of intelligence, if there's any excellent stuff, I ain't seen it. If there's anything worthy of praise, I haven't heard it. Don't even think about this mess. That's the way they would transliterate that verse today in the society that I live in. Just some thoughts on how we answer the question, where has the deep thought gone these days? Just disappeared. And this is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio, inviting you to come and visit me again someday as we have these wonderful discussions and we start discussing life. I'm glad that you can come to the website and keep me lifted up in your prayers, that I may be, the most excellent philosophy teacher teaching these students that God has put under my charge to teach them some educational stuff. I think that'll be good. Chestnut, take me away. Thank you for showing up.